already a blessing. Just share up front here. I feel a little ill-prepared, putting my studies there. A message for today. For an opening text, you can turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll just read the first two verses. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it starts off with a warning. Let us fear. The word fear there, if you look at some of the other translations, they would have some would translate it using the word terrified. Let us be terrified. Not sure that sounds any better than fear. Another translation would read, let us be careful. And I like that rendering probably the best, because I think it fits. Not because I'm looking for a nicer word, a less harsh word, but I think it fits. Let us be careful. Careful of what? Careful not to miss out on the promise of rest. The writer here uses the Israelites as an example. He says that God's word has been, and I'll add in, continues to be preached to us even as it was preached to them. But they, as a whole, the Israelites, as a whole, did not profit from the word that was preached to them. Why not? Why not? What was the issue? What was wrong? Well, our text says, as they heard the word preached, they did not mix it with faith. In other words, it spells unbelief. They heard but did not believe what they heard. They may have given a mental assent. If you would have talked to them, if you would have questioned them, I would imagine that many of them would have agreed. It's a good word. If you asked them, is it true? They would have probably said, yes, it's true. But it did not connect or with the faith. Faith was the mystery. They lacked faith. They didn't mix what they heard with faith, which spells unbelief. They failed to connect what they heard with faith in God. Hence the warning for us to fear. That's the burden of the... I consider these two verses. I consider the warning that's given here, and I say we have something very important here to consider, do we not? Brothers, sisters, young and old, it is of utmost importance what we do with what we hear. It's not so much about what we all know, but it's what we do with what we know. It is critical that we have a proper heart response to the counsel of God. The Word of God reveals many aspects. It reveals who God is. It's the counsel of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's God. And it's important that we have a proper response. The Word of God, as we have it, not just these written pages, but the actual God-breathed Word, is the closest connection you and I can have with God. It is the closest, the brightest, the clearest revelation we will ever have of God. Therefore, it should tell us that it's important, very important, it's critically important that we respond. I'm here this morning and I share, I think, in part, the burden that the Hebrew writer has. Because I'm not an artist, I'm taking the shortcut. But I'm going to illustrate some of what we're trying to say here in the opening with some pictures. You all see what this is? Someone tell me, what is it? A cell phone tower. Hopefully this. The tower has its place. But the tower itself serves no purpose unless there's a connection made to what it offers. The cell phone is a device by itself, but it's useless unless it makes a connection. Right? The connection from here to there, wherever, is what gives life, usability to the phone. Cellular service is determined by its ability to connect to some tower somewhere. I don't know how it works. I don't even know how they make connections, but somehow they connect. Good service is the result of what? Good service on your cell phone is the result of what? Proximity, or can we just put it in plain words? A good connection, right? A good connection. Good service is the result of a good connection or good reception. You know, sometimes we have our phones and we're trying to do something, maybe make a call, whatever, and we're like, I can't. Why not? Because the reception is so poor. Somehow there's a poor connection. Connectivity is key to our world that we live in. Amen? Take this away, you might as well throw that away. And you can do that both ways. They need each other. Take it to a different level. I mean, just think of physical food. Food is good. Food is needful. But what good does food do you and I if you and I fail to actually take part of it? We can look at food, we can think about food, but until we actually put it to our mouth and take part of that food, we benefit nothing, right? Again, there needs to be a connection. Looks good. Looks healthy, looks nutritious, and we need it. But it will never benefit us until we actually do something. Simple. We all understand this. When we digest food, it becomes a part of who we are. It strengthens us. It builds us. One last one. If we had a child or children that would refuse to, what does this do to us? How does this affect us? When there's a disconnect between us and the Word, what does that do to us? I purposely wrote on here God and His Word because you can't separate. Yes, we have it in written form and pages, but God and His Word are one. Are you connected? See, the Israelites weren't connected to the word that they heard preached. If we are going to benefit, each one of us needs to stretch out. This morning, as you sit here, our hearts should be connected. When we're connected with God, then we have reception. We have a receptive heart. We have a willingness to receive. See, reception, again, is very important. There's some people, you have certain illnesses and you can eat, but your body doesn't receive it. It rejects it. But when you and I are connected with God and we're healthy, we have that connection with God, We want to receive. Just like most of our bodies want to receive the new. We're going to benefit from God's word. To be connected means we give an ear that listens. See, again, speaks of a connection. When we're connected with God, then like food, we take in the word and it becomes. That's the whole intent. That's why we have it. We partake of God and who He is. And just like food, natural food, takes and shapes and molds us, guess what happens when we partake of God? If that doesn't happen, we should fear. Thus far, that's for the introduction. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I don't know. So that our souls, the question that I would like us to ponder, and this could well also be the title, because our response, when's the last time you stopped to ponder, to really the amount of time are exposed? You know, every time we open up the Bible, this book, we come face to face. James likens man looking into the written text as looking in. We come face to face with the author. Every time, God wants us to see Him. God wants to reveal Himself to us. So when you open up your Bible, you just came back from Sunday school. You're all there. The lesson book was open. Bible verses, passages were quoted. You had an opportunity. You were once again exposed. I quote verse. Go over verses that we've memorized. Now, I'm no different than any of you. We all live has with it its limit. Carnal, fleshly body is not to rule. If we allow it to dictate, we're not going to be very hungry. We're not going to be very solidly connected because feelings don't always align. But I want us to think about to have that connect. God is very much interested in our lives. God wants to speak in. There's nothing lacking. He's our high tower, the psalmist says, right? Much higher than this, much better than this. He reveals Himself to us. He tells us who He is. That is very, very generous of God to do that to you and I. Tells us who He is. Tells us what He thinks. Tells us what is good, what is not good. Tells us what is right and what is not right. We're not connected. It becomes a law. It becomes a rule. And this flesh will buck at it. I can get this body to subdue itself and put itself under. I can do that. But then when you have this connection established and God reveals to us who He is and what He likes and what He doesn't like and how He wants us to live and how He doesn't want us to live, with that connection there, we say, it's not a burden. It's freedom to know. Is it not? It's freedom to know. We don't have to go through life wondering, am I pleasing God? We can know. God wants us to know. It's freedom. Good and bad. If you and I are going to make a difference in His kingdom and be of a benefit, if God's word is going to be of any benefit to us, we must be connected with God. To expose ourselves to His word, it is right. Natural, physical being, it is very much needed. More so than this. Here, we can physically die, and if we're right with God, well. Here, to His word. Why would I say that? Because when we come face to become more like the author, listen, or we get cold. every time, brothers. I'm not talking about every time you come to church. I'm not talking about every time you come to Bible study. Those are included. But every time, brothers. Every time, sisters. This is an interesting thought. I had to just kind of shelf this thought. But, yeah, it could be a long a rabbit trail of its own. It's the very, very exposure of ourselves to the Word of God that can bring us to faith. But then it's also the very exposure of ourselves to God through the Word of God that can cause us to go away from God. See, in Hebrews here, if we were to go skip down, talking about this rest and that the Israelites missed out on, it actually talks about the power of God's Word. And I purposely didn't go there, but now my mind is there anyway. Yes, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of... That's more than a mouthful concerning the Word of God. We don't. Some of us probably give it more thought than others, but none of us give it enough thought. And God is very gracious, as long as we're not willfully. And I say none of us give it enough thought because none of us can give it enough thought. We're limited. And it's, do we give it thought? Do we give it some thought? Is more. It's pages. You can. It's okay to take a storybook. Break that verse down. It is quick. It's powerful. It hurts sometimes. But it's a needful surgery sometimes. Sometimes it's a bit of pruning that it does. Does the whole, just take and break down that verse and tell me what other than God and the words of this page that do that. And I trust many of us are connecting with it. Someone who feeds off of, when you're exposed to God's Word, whether it's when you read it by yourself or you listen to someone else preach it, and you find you do this, we're plugged in somewhere else. We're connected to something else. You and I, brothers and sisters, you and I owe to the Scriptures the very same reverence that we reverencing. But it is through this book that we come face to face with. And we owe. Now, I don't know what that does for you. Maybe a duty sometime in, you know, personal devotions. So I quickly read a passage just so I can go through the day comforting myself. Yep, I had, you know, it wasn't the way I normally would do it, but I had some devotions, you know. Really? Now, I'm not, I can't qualify everything, but I'm not saying you can never have a quick reading of Scripture and feed on. And we're supposed to walk through life, connect. This is where God will many times, this is where God will give us reminders of things that maybe that we forgot about that we once knew. Storybooks. Therefore, young people, therefore, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. What you read in here of God's Word is God speaking. Yes, other people wrote, but they were inspired to write. Is there error in this written translation? Probably more than we like to admit. But the message is still an inspired message. It's God speaking. The surest voice you and I have. So when the Bible speaks, so because of the potential dangers in being exposed to Scripture, I say potential danger, it doesn't have to be a danger, it shouldn't be a danger, but it potentially can be. James, who was the very brother to our Lord Jesus, says this to us in James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James was very concerned. I think he had a burden. Just prior to this exhortation, He had already warned, if you were to read, you find that he already warned the believers and to in preparation for trials and temptations that would come there. Be prepared for trials and temptations that will come. Good. That's in the physical. Can affect the spiritual. Good. Got that one out of the way. Now, let's talk. Find it interesting, the very first, and he says, be quick. Be quick to listen. Listening does not come naturally. Some are very good listeners. Is this something that we can do? Be alert requires enough sleep. If you're going to be quick to listen, do what you know you can do so you can be alert. Because you can't really listen if you're not alert. I can't. I don't know how you do your personal devotions with God. I don't know if you have a time of prayer and then you read, or whether you read and then have a prayer, time of prayer, or whether you read and pray and then back and forth. Like, I don't know how you do yours. And I don't think there's a set way to do it. But this I will say. So whether you read first, if you're going to listen, sin greatly hinders all known sin. I would say everything that's unrighteous. Everything that's unrighteous. And then we have the battle. The hard work of tuning out temptations and distractions that come from. Just recently I heard again a whole chapter, but you understand all voices that are calling, and you can with a good heart, a right heart, expose yourself to God and those. Oh, it was fine till I sat down to read, and now I'm drowsy, I'm sleepy, my mind just seems so out of it. Remember this, there's a battle. There's a warfare, and it's an opportunity for you to engage. James 1, verse 21, James tells us to put aside. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness. And because it's in the context of hearing, I'm going to say, be open to the idea. If we're not connected to God, can't receive it from God's word, how much less unlikely connection is not solid or is missing for God to even break? I want to change. I'm open to change. God, I know that I'm not like you yet. God, I know I'm so far from being perfect. God, if you want me to change, speak to me. I'm listening. You're so connected with God in that way that, the flesh might still recoil some, but in heart you say, yes, that's welcoming. Because I know it's going to give me the results that I want. Amen? So, reveal to us.